Sometimes all we can do is hang on. Hang on until the hurricane passes as we huddle in a safe room or a shelter. Hang on until the pandemic is history while we wear masks and physically distance ourselves from others. Hang on until the treatment is completed while we follow doctor's orders. Hang on while grief weighs so heavily on our shoulders as we find comfort in expressions of sympathy from family and friends. Hang on when our faith is shaky at best, while we continue to pray fervently and worship regularly. Hang on. Sometimes that's all we can do. Hang on. That's what Jacob did. Now, Jacob's father was Isaac, and Isaac was Abraham and Sarah's son. And Jacob's mother was Rebekah. Like Abraham and Sarah, Isaac and Rebekah did not have children in the early years of their marriage. And when Rebekah did become with child, her pregnancy was extraordinarily difficult. As she struggled with what felt like a war going on in her body, God told her that indeed there was a war going on in her womb. "You will give birth to twins," God said, "and the younger of the two will always seek advantage over the older. In fact," God said, "the younger one will rule the older." And so from birth, Jacob was grasping for that which was not his according to the rules of the world in which he lived. For the rules of the world in which he lived said that the older one was always the favored one. The older one was always the rightful heir. The older one got all of the blessings and the promises too. But Jacob, the younger one, intended to have all of that, even if it meant lying, cheating, deceiving, stealing. Perhaps you'll remember that Jacob took advantage of his brother's hunger one day and forced his brother to give up his inheritance or give it to Jacob in return for a bowl of stew. Later on, with his mother Rebekah's assistance, Jacob managed to trick his father into giving him the blessing that was reserved for the oldest son, and that was the straw that broke the camel's back as far as Esau was concerned. Esau was angry, so mad by that point, that Esau was ready to kill Jacob. Well, knowing this, Jacob fled to another country where he lived for a number of years. But after about 20 years living in another country, an angel of God appeared to Jacob one day and said, "Jacob, it's time to return home, time to face the music." With fear and trembling, knowing what he had done in the past and how it had created such anger on his brother's part, yet feeling no remorse at all for any of those actions, Jacob started toward home. Recognizing that Esau was probably still really angry, Jacob planned his approach carefully. He decided that the best way to ensure that Esau would welcome him, or at least not kill him, was to bestow extravagant gifts upon him prior to Jacob's arrival. The magnitude, though, of those gifts, the number of those gifts, were not likely designed, in my opinion, to be a peace offering to Esau, but more likely designed to impress Esau with Jacob's wealth, but more than that, with Jacob's power in what was a not-so-subtle attempt to intimidate Esau before the meeting ever happened. When the emissaries that Jacob had sent to Esau to bear those extravagant gifts returned to Jacob, though, they reported that they had discovered that Esau was on his way to meet Jacob, but that Esau was also accompanied by 400 men. 400 men! Well, Jacob assumed that meant that Esau had mounted an army and was on his way to crush Jacob and all his family. Realizing his vulnerability at that point, that's at the point Jacob decided to pray to God. In his prayer, as it's recorded in Genesis, and I believe it's the longest prayer in Genesis, in that prayer, Jacob reminded God of God's promises of blessing. And in that prayer, Jacob told God that he expected God to make good on those promises. You better keep me safe, God, because you promised, God. Scoundrel that Jacob was, trickster and usurper too, nonetheless, it is absolutely true that God had promised in the past to bless Jacob. But that day that Jacob prayed this prayer, well, God didn't answer immediately with any sort of further assurances of divine protection. So Esau split up his family, split up his belongings into two groups, sending part of it one way and part the other, figuring that when Esau and Esau's army of 400 arrived, maybe some of his family would survive the assault. Then one night, when Jacob was all alone, he suddenly found himself engaged in a wrestling match with an unknown opponent. In the dark of night, he could not make out the man's face. It was a tough wrestling match, so tough that in fact it lasted the entire night long. Toward morning, his opponent struck Jacob in the hip socket and put it out of joint as he said to Jacob, "Let me go. It's almost daybreak." But hanging on that man, Jacob said, "I'm not going to let you go unless you bless me." And then the wrestling partner said, "What's your name?" And Jacob said, "Jacob." And the man then said to Jacob, "No, you're no longer going to be called Jacob, but I'm giving you a new name, Israel." At daybreak, that time when transformative things often happen biblically, the wrestling match ended. The man disappeared. And Jacob was left with a new name, and having a new name, that meant he had a new destiny. But he was also left with a limp, a sign of that struggle in his body. In the pre-dawn hours, as he was not sure whether his brother would welcome him or more likely kill him, Jacob wrestled, and Jacob hung on for dear life, and in hanging on, he was blessed. We struggle sometimes with medical diagnoses that scare the living daylights out of us. We struggle spending sleepless nights trying to decide whether it's safe to let our children return to school in the middle of a pandemic. We struggle with income that doesn't pay the bills, trying to figure out what we must pay and what we can put off. We struggle with family relationships, sometimes these days torn apart by politics, and often rent asunder by actions that have wounded us deep down. We struggle to forgive sometimes or to accept forgiveness because there are days that nursing a grudge, well, it seems to be a lot more comfortable and a lot easier. We struggle. We struggle with hopes that fade before our eyes, with dreams that die before they are realized. We struggle. We struggle these days to understand the part that each of us plays in the perpetuation of the systemic racism in our land, and we struggle with what we are called to do to address it when the actions that we are called are hard to do, often extremely uncomfortable, and sometimes downright frightening. We struggle. While for the rest of our lives we may bear some signs of those struggles in our bodies or our hearts, just as Jacob did with his limp. Know this, my friends. God is right there in the middle of the struggle, and God will never let us go. Not today, not tonight, not tomorrow morning either. As Jacob struggled, he held on to God, and he held on to God's promises. And while his body bore signs of that struggle for the rest of his life as he limped toward his tomorrows, he also, that night, in that struggle, found a new destiny and experienced God's blessing, the blessing of a God who refused to let him go. So hang on, my friends. Hang on for dear life to the God who saves us. Hang on when the sands shift beneath your feet. Hang on when the winds threaten to blow you down. Hang on when the waters rise and seem to be overtaking you. Hang on. Hang on. Because sometimes hanging on is an act of faith. And sometimes in hanging on, we encounter the risen one tightly holding on to us, never letting us go. Not today, not tonight, not tomorrow morning, not ever. So hang on, my friends. Hang on. Amen.